From the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio, this is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, the new home of the Chicago White Sox, ESPN 1000. Waddle and Sylvie are with you as you return to the office, just like that annoying coworker that always talks about their cat. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, every Wednesday at 5 o'clock, we talk to Michael Wilbon. You see him on ESPN. You see him on PTI. From Chicago, still has a place here. He's absolutely awesome. And he's brought to you by Waddle's Guys.
That is right. HawkAuto.com. Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day.
Woo-hoo!
Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
All right, let's go. Let's think big. Let's think new stadium. Let's talk about our Chicago Bears, Waddle. That will always be the Chicago Bears.
Doesn't matter where they set up shop for game day.
They've been set up shop in the suburbs anyway, at Lake Forest. They're originally from Decatur.
Right.
But they're still the Chicago Bears.
More games at Wrigley than they have at Soldier Field, I believe.
And when they build the stadium that Justin Fields will build, because he's going to lead us there, we are going to be sitting indoors on a cold day.
Yeah.
Watching a really good football
sitting
team.
Sitting in seats that used to be Michael Wilbon's, but because he doesn't want to go to the suburbs, you and I actually agreed to pay for them, and they're now our seats.
Yeah, so Wilbon, how does this work? Do we have to pay your PSL as well, or do we just assume your tickets after you sell them to us because you're not going to Arlington Heights?
You're not going to Arlington Heights either.
Yes, we are going there. It's going to be glorious.
You'll be sitting out there. I don't know. Is there a mall in Arlington Heights? I mean, you're not going to Arlington Heights.
Oh, yes, we are.
Okay, you guys can. You're not going to get my go with that. I'm in too good a mood over the game last night.
I know.
No matter what you say, I know you're not going to Arlington
Heights.
Yes, we are. The Bears aren't going to Arlington Heights either.
Are you going to give up your season tickets? And can Sylvia and I then buy them?
I don't have any season tickets. My season tickets are at Evanston.
Okay.
But you guys will be sitting right with me on the lake freezing like you're supposed to.
So, why do you think that this isn't going to happen? The Bears have put in the bid. The Bears want to control
the bid doesn't mean anything. I read all this stuff last week. I was in Chicago when it happened. The bid doesn't mean anything. And first of all, you know how many people put in bids on parcels of land that large when a stadium takes up like a droplet? This happens all the time in every major market in America. And the Bears are doing probably a smart thing by upping the ante on what the city of Chicago, whether it's the park district, who cares what it is, they can make a $1 billion playpen on the lake. What you guys are being naive about, and I think legitimately naive, the other stuff you're just trying to get me. But the Bears are not, the city of Chicago is not getting a Super Bowl. It's not.
Yes, we will.
And it can get, no, you won't. And
lifetime
you can get a
back.
Final Four right on the, you can get a Final Four, they can figure out another way to do that, but you're not getting a Super Bowl. That ship has sailed. It sailed when it was freezing and miserable. Remember, most people who have ever been in Illinois who called it home are trying to get the hell out during February, not visit it. People don't want to come to Chicago in February. No one.
I think you should.
And they're not getting a Super Bowl.
Michael, I think you should put in a bid, and we'll build Wilbon World.
I don't listen. Remember this. You guys are talking to me in Arizona. I don't want to be in Chicago during February, and I love it. Nobody who's going to be invested in that stadium is going to love Chicago more than me. And I don't want to be there in February.
Okay. Beyond the creature comfort upgrades, which would exist in a building in Arlington Heights, what about the financial decision to do something like that if you're the McCaskey family? Because the best way to enhance the value of your asset in the professional sports arena is to own your own facility. And they don't.
Neither do the New England Patriots. Or do they? Do the Patriots have
Yeah, Bob Kraft built that whole thing up. Bob Kraft. Remember, it used to be Sullivan Stadium.
The best way you can raise the value of your stadium is to put a damn product on the field that's great. That's the best way.
No, it's by owning your stadium.
The New York Yankees, which are at the top of that Forbes list, and the Bears are like 13 or 14 or something like that.
Yes.
Or 20. Okay, so the Yankees, what do they own? There's no mall around Yankee Stadium. It's in the Bronx.
Yeah, but they own the building.
They get all the money from parking.
Don't the Bears get all the money from parking?
No. Park District and everything. I'm sure there's a share.
I know the Park District owns the building.
Right.
But there's got to be a pretty good percentage on the parking. And listen, they can all that's up for renegotiation. How many miles is Arlington from?
Downtown 35.
I'm 33
miles.
You're
going to say 33 miles. So nobody in the 31 miles between there and the lakefront wants to go there. No one.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys can say this all you want.
We polled them. Yeah, the 75% of over 5,000 people voted that they are in favor of going to Arlington Heights if they build their own stadium.
I'm just going to call them liars.
No. You're in denial.
How many people go to Arlington Heights now? For what? What do they go there for?
They go for the racetrack. I mean, this is the last
Nobody goes to the racetrack.
Yeah, some people.
This is not Churchill Downs. Nobody goes to that racetrack.
The pandemic has, obviously had an effect on it.
Clearly, it made people crazy. Here's a sentence I've never spoken at 62 years old. Hey, Don. What are you doing Saturday? Let's go to Arlington.
Going to Arlington. You will go there if the Bears are playing there.
Spoken. But I can go to the lakefront. I can go to Michigan Avenue and walk south or north or whatever direction I want to go.
I bet you Don Wilbon agrees with us and doesn't agree with Mike.
Of course he does.
He's a
smarter Wilbon.
Yeah, he's a business sense.
You go ahead. Let him. You believe that if you want.
Well, let me ask you this. Seriously. You say no one wants to come here in February. You don't even want to be here when it's cold in February. I hate the cold as well. It's why I want a retractable roof on the building the Bears play
in. You don't have games in February.
You have them in December. It's freezing in December. It's windy in November.
Come on, be a man.
Oh,
be a man.
You want to be like man.
You want to be like the Vikings and the Lions? There's only two teams worth a damn left in the division anyway.
You don't come to Chicago in December, Michael, and eat out on the patio at Chicago Cut. You sit inside because you're comfortable. You're not more of a man if you sit outside and eat dinner in December.
Well, you were this year. You actually done it. I'm not coming to Chicago. Listen, when I come, so Matthew and I are in the process of choosing games, and I think he's spoken. It's his time of life to choose the games he wants to go to. He gets two games. He gets one road, one home.
He wants to go to Arlington Heights.
We know the Vegas game. We've already discussed that. I think it's a Ravens game because he's also got to go at a noon game on Sunday so we can get back home so we can go to school on Monday. So that's part of why we won't do December. And I said to him, do you want to do a December game, a cold, blustery? We've done it once. And he's sort of hemming and hawing. But that's... I'm talking about the Bears aren't going to play there past December or whatever it is, 22nd or whatever. They're not going to do that. The rest of the world does not want to come to a Super Bowl in Chicago. You guys can spin that any way you want. They don't.
But it will happen. It happened in Detroit. It happened with the new Minnesota Stadium.
And because it happened in those places, and those Super Bowls were awful and dreadful and unattractive and undesirable, and no one wants to do it again, they're not going to do it in Chicago.
Mike, didn't you come to the NBA All-Star Game here in Chicago?
In February.
That's the All-Star Game. And where is that located?
Indoors.
On the lakefront.
Well, you can't
not
see
Arlington
the lakefront. It was in the west side of Chicago at the United Center.
The whole thing was at Navy Pier. That's where everything took place. All the media stuff, all the convention.
You could do that with the Super Bowl, too.
And just play the game in Arlington Heights.
We win. Jack.
We just won. You laid down the trump card right there. Good job, Abdallah.
Yes.
You didn't lay down anything. Because I know where I was. I know where I was All-Star Weekend. And it wasn't anywhere damn near Arlington Heights. I would never go to Arlington Heights in the winter for what?
Yeah. You're a heck of a lot less speechless than you were last night.
I was speechless last night.
I know. We saw that.
Did you guys stay up and watch that?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It was incredible.
It's unbelievable. It's one of the great finishes I've ever seen in basketball. College pro. Look, there's some great finishes. I'm fortunate to have been to a lot.
Everything about that play, Monty Williams drawing it up, Booker when he sets the screen, the perfect pass from Crowder.
Yeah.
You know, Ayton being where he is. I mean, that's one of those moments that you'll probably always remember. I get it. It wasn't an NBA Finals. It was a Western Conference Finals game. But just all that took place for that to happen was just really a cool
thing. It was, man. And, you know, you're standing there watching it live, and when he flushes it, it takes a second to realize that it's gone through the net. Mm-hmm. Unless you're sitting in an angle where you just have a better angle. I'm standing there behind the basket, and there's a half moment. And then when that play starts shaking like you saw in that video with me and Stephen A., I mean, part of the shock is the play being executed correctly, not just correctly, flamboyantly, spectacularly. And then the reaction, listen, there's no loudest moment ever that anybody East would care about that happened in L.A., in the Forum, they're not that loud. They're laid back. They take pride in being laid back. Phoenix is not exactly an extension of that. It's different than L.A. But last night, the explosion in that building, it was right up there. I'm not going to say it was better because you get to a point where it can't be better. But it was right there with anything that happened in Chicago, New York, Philly, Boston, places where it does get where people are nuts and it gets so loud that you can't hear. It was like that here in Phoenix last night. And I don't know what happens next. I don't even know where it goes, but it reminded me of the great games I have seen in all those cities when the home team did something. Isaiah, you know, Bird steals a ball. You know, I was there for that in Boston Garden, the louder noise I've never heard. But last night was right there with it. And it's a different crowd than cheered for Charles and Steve Nash and Paul Westfall. It's different. It's turned over. They're not people in their appreciative, really knowledgeable people in their 60s and 70s who are now, pardon me for saying this, have moved on. It's people in their, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s who are very new to the Suns and any success. And it was that moment last night was something. You're right. I will remember being there and what the reaction was forever.
What? So the video, and Abdallah came to me right away, and he said, "Have you seen the Wilbon and Stephen A. video? It's emojis now. They're turning into emojis.
I heard.
Take us through that. Who shot it? And do you like that now this is going to be used forever in emoji form?
Yeah, I don't know who shot it. I mean, there's a name attached to it. I'm sorry, I don't remember the gentleman's name right now.
Memes.
But Stephen A. and I are standing there because we're about to go on the air. We're told, you know, get in your positions because you're going to be on the air, you know, talking to Stan Verrett in L.A. for the late Sports Center the moment this is over. Okay, fine. This has happened for years. So this is nothing. These are not new instructions for us. And I mean, it goes back to for many years it was Magic and John Barry and Stuart Scott and me, and it's great. Whenever you're doing this, it's a privilege. And so I'm standing there and I'm screaming at Stephen A. And I mean screaming because you can't hear. It's that loud leading up when Paul George misses the two free throws. That's it's just now we're full blast moving toward a 10 in terms of noise, and I'm screaming at Stephen A. Ayton to the rim, Ayton to the rim. I said it like 40 times, Ayton to the rim. And Stephen A. saying, no, 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 Cam Johnson. I'm like, dude, no, no, Ayton to the rim. That is the only play. And when they come up, but I'm saying it, but I don't exactly believe it. I don't think it's necessarily going to happen. It's not going to happen the way I am envisioning it, except it does. And Stephen A., on the other hand, had thought Paul George was going to miss the free throws. And he said it with a certain sadness. And I think the people who cover the league view Paul George in a very complex way. He's a really talented guy who should never give himself the nickname Playoff P when he's never done anything in the playoffs. Kawhi can give himself a nickname, Playoff anything, right? I mean, of the active players. LeBron can certainly give himself one. Even Kyrie. Kyrie's hit a shot to win a championship. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant. All these people can give themselves Kyle Lowry. They can give themselves nicknames. Paul George, man, it's just been bittersweet. And so when he missed those free throws, Stephen A., I said he's going to make these free throws. Stephen A.'s like, I don't know about that. And when he missed the second free throw, and it just becomes a crescendo.
Yeah.
You know you're watching something that is different. You know you're watching something that has potential to be otherworldly. But most of those times it doesn't happen. And then it happened. I mean, it just, wow, man. That whole revisiting now of Paul George and his reputation, it's just, I feel bad for him. And most of us, I think, who cover the league feel something for him, even though he seems to at times bring it on himself.
Mike, we talked earlier about the instant replay and the fact that 28 seconds took almost, however long it took.
But how about the 33 minutes, last 90 seconds to 33 minutes?
So where is the correct balance between getting it right, using technology and instant replay to get it right, and also finding the balance where the game isn't disrupted the way that it is? Or
it's easy. College football does it already. We don't need to theorize. College football has people in New York who get started on this thing, the eye in the sky. And people in New York, or wherever they want to put them, they should have already been started on that. They got the call wrong on off Devin Booker out of bounds. It was wrong. When the ball is knocked out of your hand, you don't need replay for that. The ball was knocked out of your hand out of bounds. That's it. I don't care if there's a DNA sparkle that says it's – no. Go back to officiating the game, that part of it, the way it's been officiated. But if you start this in the booth already, those guys can make these calls. They don't have to come over and put a headset on. They don't need all that.
Right.
You need to get it right, but you don't need that. And they could have gotten that right from the booth in like one-tenth the time. One-tenth. They could have got, college football does it every week. You don't even realize it's being reviewed. And they're back under center. So this is just something that people get a hard head about. They want to do it their way. They don't give a damn what works or what interrupts the flow of play, or they're charging people $720 a seat and they're making you stay for 30 more minutes to get through 90 seconds. And so they don't care to get it. They don't care to get that part right. No league. The NFL's had a chance to do it. They turn it down every year. I don't know if basketball has really said. First of all, the NFL just doesn't even want to act like college football exists in that way. And they get something right that professionals don't get right. So it's a bunch of junk. And I would sit and look at the commissioners, a couple of whom I know and like a lot, and I would just say, you're wrong. You're wrong. Your league is being arrogant. Get it right. We don't care to wait 30 minutes for 90 seconds.
All right. Hang in there. I want to talk about some of these pitchers acting like babies over sticky stuff. And I want to ask you about Ben Simmons. All that coming up next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Conversation continues with Michael Wilbon every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. You can listen on ESPN 1000. Now on FM as well, 100.3 HD2. And, of course, everything's available on the ESPN Chicago app, whether it's live or on-demand pods. Michael, before we move to baseball and all the, temper tantrums the pitchers are throwing, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't you years ago not like Ben Simmons? Was that something, or am I imagining that?
Yes. No, you're not. I was a guy who got that as wrong as you can get it in terms of what he at least can still be in the NBA and what he has been. I didn't think he'd be an all-star player. I didn't think he'd be even close. Because I just didn't see at LSU what I needed to see, and I was wrong. Loud wrong. I was wrong about Trae Young, too. So I got a couple wrong in the last
But I was going to say, were you maybe right about Ben Simmons because of the way this –
This is developed in a way, Sylvie, that is really complex, and it's hard to watch because he's a young man with a lot of talent. He's a kind of guy that – I've met Ben a couple of times and talked to him and listened to him, and he's just – he seems like the phrase we used to use a lot more of a good kid. And I don't get this, though. He's a liability in these playoff games, in these playoff series, because his offense is not developed. And he has worked on it. But people say, he had to work on it. That's wrong. There's a block. There's something preventing him from putting into application what he works on in all these summers. Most people who watch sports, pro sports now, they have no idea how dedicated and how much, like a guy like Kevin Durant, who's already in the Hall of Fame, he's already won two championships. Kevin Durant, he works on his game all summer, like obsessively. And so Derrick Rose, some of these summers he could barely walk on one knee. He's working on his game, Ben Simmons, I know, does the same thing. But man, like, where are the results? It's going backward.
Mike, I mean, in his 4 years in the league, he's never been inclined to shoot the three. His free throw percentage has been bad all four years. And so, like, then the question becomes, if the Sixers are going to move on from him and somebody looks at him and says, we can fix him, and he's got a price tag of $35 million a year for the next 4 years, I mean, aren't you taking an enormous leap of faith if you go out there and you trade for him thinking that you can remove the block that you just talked about?
I mean, it depends on how your ego is constructed when it comes to, you know, making him, helping him be the player that club that takes that chance still thinks he can be. You mean you don't think the Lakers are thinking about this already?
Well, I'm sure they are.
Of course they are. You think LeBron is daunted? If somebody says, we can get you Ben Simmons, we can figure out a way to fit him in on the team salary-wise, you think LeBron is sitting there thinking, oh, I can't do this? I mean, these people, the best players, the best coaches, the best scouts, they are supremely confident. People, Tommy, you know this better than Sylvie, and I know it. They think they can fix anything. And so, can they? I don't know. I mean, why is it? And by the way, we're not even talking about basketball to me. So you're standing under the rim in a game in which you're behind by a few points. You need a basket, first and foremost. And you are too timid to dunk the ball with only Trae Young on you?
Mm-hmm.
Trae Young can't block your shot at 6 feet. Well, you're 6'10", and you're going to dunk it. He can't block your shot. He can't physically hurt you. So what he can do is he can foul you, and you got to shoot free throws, and you don't want to. And so who can fix this? I know people believe they can, but who can? You know, it's an interesting situation. Markel Fultz has become a lot better. He didn't start off the way Ben Simmons started off. He started off where Ben is now. But Markel Fultz, you know, he wound up having some games. Wasn't he like player of the week or something? He started to get through this, and I don't know what coaching there was. I don't know what psychological and emotional help there might have been. But it's too early to give up on Ben Simmons at 25, I think he is. 24. God, he's the same age as Devin Booker. Think about where Booker's career is going. And Ben Simmons is going the other way. So I don't know. Like, you know somebody's going to take a chance. I mean, Doc and Philly, people in Philly, the news was yesterday, they have a plan. My plan would be to get him out of town.
Right, right.
Because Philly's the worst place you can have this situation, right? To me. Philly is the absolute worst place where you can have this.
Yeah, ask Carson Wentz about that.
Yeah.
Michael, really quick, about these temper tantrums that pitchers are having. Do you understand where they're coming from, where they're coming off the mound?
Yes.
They're pulling down their pants. They're throwing their belts. You do. So you're anti-baseball on this.
Yeah, baseball gets everything wrong. We know this. Baseball gets everything wrong. People have been cheating. Pitchers have been putting stuff on baseball for 140 years, literally. And so now they're going to crack down? 2 years after marketing launch angles? This is a few years after having commercials that included chicks dig the long ball? Really? So baseball just flips and flops back and forth every few years, whichever way it pleases. And then the other group's supposed to be happy about it? I mean, I mean, baseball gets it wrong constantly. It hardly ever gets it right. They want to shorten the games. They want to get more offense in. But just a couple of years ago, they were going in a different direction. So why am I to believe baseball? I understood my man on the Nationals last night.
Scherzer.
A pitcher as great as Scherzer? Come on. I mean, I don't even know what did the pitchers do that was so objectionable? They didn't have any great dip. They didn't have any great movement. Scherzer's been great. As Joe said himself, as Joe Girardi, who I love, said, he's going to the Hall of Fame. Okay, then what are we doing here? I mean, baseball is just destined to get it wrong all the time in every way possible.
Michael, great stuff as always, except the Arlington Heights stuff. We appreciate it.
Okay, you guys go ahead and park. Why don't you buy some land out there?
I'm going to.
Yeah. It's a good time to buy.
Yeah, it's, you know what? Thank you, Mike.
See ya.
All right, you guys. Be good.
Well, there you go.
By the way, Mike brought to you by Design First Builders. Before you remodel, design first.
All right. I want to play you some Joe Girardi. And they played a classic game today.
Yeah.
We'll recap some of the baseball stuff. Also, we hear from owner George about the Arlington Heights situation. It's all coming up next.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, so you heard earlier today the White Sox win 4-3. They ended their five-game losing streak, beat the Pirates today, day off tomorrow, and then they're back at it on the south side, Guaranteed Rate Field, reopening day on Friday against Seattle. Cubs are off today. They won last night.
Celebrating.
Yeah. This Nationals-Phillies series is really interesting.
Oh,
we were referencing it with Wilbon. And Scherzer's pitching yesterday, and Girardi challenged them in the middle of the inning. So they're all getting checked at the end of innings. And then so
a little bit of gamesmanship going on, and Joe's the captain of gamesmanship.
So Joe comes out and he wants them to check Scherzer. Then Scherzer, when he retires the side, is walking off the mound and, you know, doing the baseball thing where he's staring. You do the stare down with his two colored eyes. Does he have two colored eyes, Scherzer?
Yes, and he's different colored eyes.
He's staring down the Philadelphia Phillies dugout. And so Joe didn't, you
know, Joe sit well with red ass Joe.
He's a red ass and he's old school.
Yeah, you put a baseball uniform on Joe Girardi, you're going to see a red ass manager. You get Joe off the field, like he's a calm sweetheart of a guy.
Northwestern educated.
Yeah, but you put a baseball uni on him and it's go time.
He's like, you want a piece of me?
Yeah,
here I am. And he got thrown out of the game and it was very funny. Mike Rizzo, the general manager of the Nats.
R-I-Z-Z-O.
Right. He's a Chicago guy,
I
believe. So Rizzo today is on 106.7, The Fan.
Yeah.
And he's talking about Girardi going after Scherzer. And it's hilarious. Like, Scherzer then after innings is, like, showing his hands. See, nothing on my hands, nothing on his hands.
Jazz hands.
People are pulling down their pants.
It's a bit of a spectacle.
So this is Rizzo on everything that transpired last night in this Phillies-Nationals game where Joe Girardi got thrown out.
Scherzer came back off the injured list and was dealing, but then you have to deal with, you know, not one, not two, but three trips to the mound. Do you think Girardi was playing games there?
Of course he was. What are we, idiots? Of course he was.
I agree.
It's embarrassing for Girardi. It's embarrassing for the Phillies. It's embarrassing for baseball. Yes, he was playing games, and hey, that's his right. You know, gamesmanship had nothing to do with substances. He had no probable cause to ask for it. The ump shouldn't have allowed it. But it happened, and you got to deal with it. This is what we're going to have to deal with. And you think you're going to intimidate a Max Scherzer and that type of thing? It's just not going to happen. You're just going to piss him off and make him concentrate that much harder. This is about breaking Max's rhythm and frustrating him and that type of thing. And it didn't work. Our bullpen pitched great. We got some timely hits and we beat the Phillies. So we move on. We play him today again. So that's good.
Well, our partner here, Eric Bickle, believed Joe Girardi after the game. Doesn't think it's gamesmanship.
No. I think that factored in. Don't speak for me. I think it factored in. But I do believe him when he said he just was flummoxed by him going to his head all the time. I think he tried to get him off his rhythm a little bit, but I think ultimately I agree with Mike, too, that backfires. I think you do that with other pitchers, but if you piss off Max Scherzer, that's going to go the other way on you. So I don't think that was necessarily his goal.
That was his goal. He's a con artist. He got you in the con. So you believe it, and that's just the way it is. He's been doing that for years on TV, and that's
wow. So hold on, you're not a Joe Girardi fan at all?
Doesn't sound.
No,
like
I
it.
Love Joe Girardi. I've seen him play since he was in high school in Peoria, Illinois. Scouted him in Northwestern. I know him well, but I know him well. That's him too well.
You know him too well, Riz. That's the problem.
I know him.
So how about that? Called him a con artist.
Yeah.
Joe Girardi, a con
artist. Listen, I thought there was a rule attached to all of this stuff that said that you're not allowed to do what Joe did. Without probable cause, you can't. So the umpire should have just not allowed it.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken, like, there is part of the rule is
because
is
we've been checking him. We don't need to check him again during the inning.
Correct.
We haven't seen anything, you know. But then, like, one of the hosts said he, Scherzer kept going because he was sweating so much. He kept going to his head.
And Girardi was talking about how that was unusual from his perspective. So, look, Joe's going to try to get an advantage. This is a bit of a spectacle right now, and I don't know the answer to the question. Is this something that will continue to happen throughout the course of the remainder of the season? Will these spot checks become less frequent? I know that there are pitchers that are frustrated. I get it. Again, it is a bit of a spectacle. But part of me is like, guys, you've been violating the rules for how long now? Major League Baseball has decided to all of a sudden enforce the rules. It may be odd that they've chosen to do this in the middle of the year, but strikeouts to hits, the disparaging ratio between the two is ruining the game in some people's perspective or some people's opinion.
Bleck, did you see Trevor Bauer going back and forth with Chris Rose, our guy? What will Trevor Bauer do when he gets checked? Will he look like some of these guys? He'll take the belt off. He'll be all, look at it. How dare you even question me?
Did I see it? I did not see it. Was it on his YouTube page?
No, they're going back and forth on Twitter. And he's just saying. No.
Do I follow Trevor Bauer?
What is Trevor Bauer going to do when he gets
He's going to be stupid about it. You
he's
know
gonna
he will.
Make, he'll make a scene.
Make a scene.
Yeah, of course he will.
He'll take out his sword.
He'll put the sword away, and then he'll pull down his pants all the way down to the ground like when, you know, a little kid does when they go potty.
And he'll probably be wearing a pair he'll be wearing some of those, like, Spanx shorts, so you know, that go down to your knees, little compression shorts, probably have signs on them. He'll have something.
Hey, what's he doing on Twitter? Is he all chesty about it?
No. Chris Rose is just saying, don't let me, he's having fun with it. He's let me down. He's like, how could I know you're a Cleveland Indians fan, he said to Chris Rose. He's like, I've never let down Indians fan. You know, he's saying, in jest, because obviously he has.
Listen, his drone and his cut finger.
And throwing the ball over the wall.
Look, part of me is like, this is nonsense in a lot of ways, because all it's doing is, I think, adding more downtime, isn't it? I mean, if you're having to go through this process. The other part of my brain says, look, you guys created this monster.
It's like going through security at the airport. This is what this is.
Right.
You're putting the pitchers through security every time they come off the mound. It's crazy.
But the pitchers created the problem because they've been violating the rule that's been in the rule book forever. And you can't just tell me, well, they've been turning a blind eye to it forever.
So we
cheat. They're not anymore.
Yeah.
So now it's not okay to cheat. It wasn't okay to cheat before, but they just turned a blind eye to it. We're not doing that anymore. So don't get all pissy about it when we want to check your belt or your glove, because no longer are we allowing you to drive 110 miles an hour in a school zone. We're finally going to give you a ticket.
How about this? So after all the drama that went on yesterday between the Nats and the Phillies, they played a classic today in which the Nationals came from behind and won 13-12. You talk about Kyle Schwarber. This is the ultimate Kyle Schwarber day, right? This is
Kyle Schwarber. Four strikeouts and a bomb.
It's as Kyle Schwarber of a day as we know. He went 1-for-4 with a home run, a 3-run homer, 3 strikeouts, and a walk. And he scored twice.
Probably made an error in the field.
Yeah, he's batting .240. He's on base .325.
Yeah.
And then this is, how about this tweet from the Nationals after his 3-run homer that tied the game? The Nationals tweeted out, game-tying 3-pointers in Philly this year. Ben Simmons 0, Kyle Schwarber 1. Isn't that amazing?
It is. All I know is this. Collectively, all the spin rates are down. Everything's down. Will that equate to more rocky starts from dominant pitchers? I don't know. I don't know. There will be some guys that go out there and they still deal. Yu Darvish, everyone asked questions because 2 starts ago he looked bad. Yu Darvish went back to dealing his last start out. Like, I don't know ultimately what's going to happen, but this is here to stay.
Yep.
This policing of this rule that you can't use all of these foreign substances, This is here to stay.
All right, letters from George coming up. And also, I'm going to make Waddle put on his party hat because it is time to celebrate something. I'm not letting you go today without
celebrating. So your nonsense.
Now, I've got two great things for you. Don't go anywhere. It's next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Three easy ways to listen to ESPN 1000. Now on the FM side, 100.3 HD2. And, of course, you get everything at the ESPN Chicago app. We're going to get into the studio with Carmen Yurko for Crosstalk Unhinged. So we'll do that in the next couple of days, hopefully. Get a new uncensored podcast. You find all the pods there, all your on-demand pods. You can listen live on the ESPN Chicago app. If you have not downloaded it yet, be sure you do. We're talking about this again in the IDOT bullpen before the show, as we did with Wilbon on the air, the Bears Stadium situation. It's been the hot topic in Chicago and the surrounding area for a long time. And remember, IDOT reminds you, driving, biking, or walking responsibly really is a matter of life or death. Learn more through social media or at lifeordeathillinois.com. Want to play you this. This is Jonathan Hood, and it's another installment of Letters from George.
Well, hi there, and welcome to Letters with George. I'm owner George, and Ryan and Matt are football guys. And I just want you to know we're looking forward to the season. What a wonderful season we're going to have with our Chicago Bears. It's so good to be back after a week of vacation, spending time away in the islands, Coney and Stony. We had a wonderful time on vacation. Well, I noticed that here on my car here, my VW Bug, that there were letters left for me right here on my windshield. So I'm going to get... Mom, hold on a second. I'm doing Letters with George. Stop blowing the horn. We'll be home soon. Anyway... here's a letter here that I found. Small letter. It says here, Dear George, Mom, it says, Dear George, from Alice in Algonquin, who says, Dear George, you better move the team to Arlington Heights. I've been reading about this, and that'll be great for the Chicago Bears. Get out of that spaceship that you're always in and move to Arlington Heights. Signed, Alice from Algonquin. Well, that's interesting. I have not heard anything about this. I've been on vacation, Alice, and I don't know. Mom, hold on. I'm talking about the Bears. Anyway, I have not read anything because of our Mom! Get your ass in the f***ing car. Well, I better go. I've heard nothing about the Bears moving to Arlington Heights. This is George. I let you know that just keep watching and keep following our Chicago Bears. Mom, stop it. I'm getting in the car. I'm getting in the car now. Oh, jeez. Yeah, Mom.
So good. Captain J. Hood every day, 7 to 10.
Hilarious.
Letters from George.
It's hilarious.
It is so great. He's been on vacation. I don't know anything about the Arlington Heights situation.
Yeah.
You know what day today is, right? Today is a Chicago holiday. If your kids, you know, go to camp, they probably had the day off. Because everyone in the city today.
Not true.
Yes, honors.
No, nobody
stopped. The Samber
game. Did your kids go to camp today?
No.
Yes, they did. You're a liar.
I held
You're
them
a liar.
Home.
You're a liar.
Because we honored
You're
Rhino.
A liar. You're a liar.
We honored Rhino.
Mason doesn't. He's a White Sox fan.
This is what happened on this day in 1984. Waddle, take a listen. Put on your party hat. Let's get the champagne out.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Has watched leads of 7-1 and 9-3 evaporate. sound like the crowd last night.
Five-day. The 1-2 hitters have been outstanding for the Cubs today. Here comes the man again. What a day he's had, Sandberg.
His last time up, Sandberg homered to tie it at 9 in the ninth. He's a tying run at the plate now in the 10th. 1-1 pitch. Sandberg, five hits, including two home runs.
That was today, 1984. It changed being a Cub fan forever. That day, with Bruce Sutter on the mound, Cy Young guy. I know Black and Abdallah will have wall-to-wall coverage.
It changed your perspective as a Cubs fan?
It changed the way Cubs fans and the nation viewed their team.
Why?
Because they had never won.
They never won a game in June?
They had not been to the postseason since 1945.
The postseason didn't start until September or October.
Because they were a team that never won. They were woefully bad. And here was their rival. Here was their former player, Bruce Sutter. We do this every year. You still don't get it.
I don't. I never will. And I like Rhino, both as a player and as a guy.
They clinched that day?
My point exactly, Chris.
They announced to the nation that we are here not only as an MVP candidate for Rhino, but as a team to be reckoned with.
Not even at the halfway point of the season, right?
You have to have those big wins along the way. Right? Yeah.
Didn't we hear Lance Lynn say nobody gives an S in June?
Yeah, yes. The guy who's right, calling everyone an MF-er after he strikes out.
But you like
Lance
that.
Lynn cares. Yeah. Lance Lynn cares, yeah. Believe me.
Well, he just said nobody gives an S in June.
I've always told you this. The other comp to this is Bears versus Cardinals. Same bird for you. I know it's tough for you to understand.
Same
bird. Cardinals in 2006. National TV Monday Night Football against the Arizona Cardinals when they were down so big and they miraculously came back. Sixth game, I believe, of the season, but yet it's one that Bears fans remember forever because it was exciting. It was on national TV. It was their coming out party as a Super Bowl contender, and it's the comp. There are games along the way in all regular seasons where we always remember.
I don't celebrate that game either.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
You threw a party last year.
I did not throw a party for the
Arizona Cardinals
Bears game. I don't believe I did.
With Devin Hester and Peanut Tillman and Mike Brown.
I don't think so.
And Brian Urlacher. That was a game, maybe Brian Urlacher's best game in the NFL.
I just thought once you guys won a World Series in 2016, you guys would let go of the death grip on some of these things.
These are the pioneers that paved the way, Waddle, for that to happen.
Right.
And, of course, you can depend on Black and Abdallah to have this.
Oh, I'm sure they'll feel the same way that you do.
All your Sandberg game calls at 332-3776. Or if you'd like to relive Lee Ilya a couple months after that anniversary, call their show as well. Great job by those two, as always. Thank you to Michael Wilbon. We're off tomorrow. We will be back on Friday, okay? So tomorrow we have a day off. We are back together on Friday at 2 o'clock. It's going to be Hanley and Huebner, I believe, filling in for us tomorrow, starting at 2 o'clock. So for Waddle, I'm Sylvie. Listen for Black and Abdallah next on ESPN 1000.
It's the classic!
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all a good night.